Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Rapella, 13 Fishing, Omnia Fishing, and Visit Anderson, South Carolina. Now, here's your host, lifetime bass member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Sports Byline USA Network and other fine stations around the country. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com, click on the Tournament tab, and select Nation. And to join the hundreds of thousands of members of Bass, just click on the Membership tab. BASS members enjoy Bassmaster Magazine and exclusive access at Bassmaster.com. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the Anglers tab at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com along with all their other great products, and for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20 only at 13fishing.com. I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier with the code BASSRADIO20. What a tournament at the AFCO Bassmaster Elite at Lake Fork last week. The only reason we didn't see 25 century belts is because only 10 guys fished all 4 days, and all 10 of them easily eclipsed that mark. Leading the way, just an ounce shy of 130 pounds, was young, and I mean young, Trey McKinney, who celebrated his 19th birthday last Sunday at Toledo Bend. He was 12th there and got the win by just over 5 pounds over Louisiana's Tyler Rivette. Coming in third was Alabama's Justin Hamner, who landed the Phoenix Boats Big Bass, an 11-pound, 7-ounce monster. All three guys are coming up on today's Lake Fork Recap Show. So sit back and grab a cup of coffee and enjoy this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network. At Phoenix Boats, everyone has a passion for bass fishing, from the founder and Elite Series pro Gary Klaus down to the guy who affixes the final decal. Gary says, "This passion has shaped our lives and it has brought about many of the fishing features that you see on the Phoenix today. Our goal is to make every boat that goes out the door the best fishing platform it can be in both design and construction for our customers. When I toured the plant, it was clear that Phoenix uses only the highest quality materials and that the craftsmanship was second to none. I'm Tom Abraham. And I too run a Phoenix boat and am extremely proud to carry the Phoenix logo on my gear. I've known Gary Klaus since he started the company, and what he, Teresa Johnson, and the rest of the team at Phoenix Boats have created is truly remarkable. The highest quality boats built by anglers for anglers. This isn't just a saying, it's a passion at Phoenix. View the entire lineup at phoenixboats.com and get started on yours today. Take it from me, it's time to experience the Phoenix difference.
Rapala is one of the most respected names in all of the fishing industry. The finest balsa wood baits with the best action, the DT series, the Brat Squarebills, and the Shad Wrap are all legendary. But did you know that Rapala also makes high-quality rain gear and every kind of fishing accessory you can imagine? Plus, under the Rapala family of brands, you'll find VMC hooks and terminal tackle, Suffix mono, fluoro, and braided lines, Terminator spinnerbaits, jigs, and frogs, plus the Storm Arashi line of baits. Learn more at Rapala.com. That's Rapala.com, and start catching more fish.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for my friends at 13 Fishing. I can't tell you how excited I was to learn that two-time Bassmaster Angler of the Year, Gerald Swindle, had teamed up with the crew at 13 Fishing to build the ultimate rod and reel series that combines quality with a price point that works for all. And right now we have a tremendous deal for you. The new Metaseries Rods and Inception G2 reels are available at 13fishing.com. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as we kick things off here with our top three, we're going to start in second. We're going to kind of jump around a little bit. But I wanted to get a Phoenix guy in right off of the top. And this guy has been hot as a pistol the last couple of years. He was top 10 last year in the AOI. And he finished about 5 pounds back of Trey McKinney in the tournament at Lake Fork. And he, of course, does run a Phoenix 921 as well. He is Tyler Rivette. Tyler, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
How's it going?
Fantastic. You know, it's a good thing that you spent all that time in the weight room and lifting all those weights because, you know, 120-some-odd pounds, 125 pounds of fish, that was a lot of curls, if you will, pulling those fish out of the lake all week long.
Man, it's still crazy thinking about it. But, yeah, I'm glad I've been in there because I never expected to pick up that much weight on the water.
How many 30-pound bags have you had in your career before Lake Fork?
Zero.
And you had three. And you could have had four. I mean, you were about 3 ounces away from having a fourth one on day two when you had 29-13. Did you feel like a slacker when you had 29-13 at day two? Did you feel like, oh, I might not even make the cut?
Man, that's, basically. That's what I said, too. I was like, dude, I might not even be top 10. And it with this 30 pounds 2 days in a row. And same thing as last year with Okeechobee. I had like that 29 something that second day, and I could have broke 30 because they were biting, but I decided to leave them. And same thing there. I kind of left my area because there was no point of calling a 5 pounder with a 5.5 just to break 30.
Yeah, Tyler Rivette with us here talking about a second place finish in the AFCO Bassmaster Elite at Lake Fork. The place is absolutely amazing. Now, you know, we've got a classic coming up that, of course, you'll be fishing in at Grand Lake, which is about 90 miles from downtown Tulsa, where all the activities will be taking place in the convention center and the weigh-ins and all of that. It was mentioned during the broadcast, and I think it was mentioned by Dave Mercer, man, we should figure out a way to have a classic at Lake Fork. And, you know, I thought about it. And when I looked at the map, it's 80 miles from downtown Dallas. So it's actually closer to Dallas than you'll be at Grand Lake to Tulsa. But there's that pesky slot limit. I mean, you think they could ever figure out a way to, can you imagine a classic? It might be 100 pounds in 3 days.
No, it would 100% be over 100 pounds in 3 days at that time. And, man, yeah, that's what we talked about. Like, I was talking about it with my friends, like, with that slot limit, like, I couldn't imagine fishing a tournament over there with it, because all the fish I was catching were either huge or, like, 17 inches. So, like, I never could catch any small ones. Like, it's crazy saying that, but it was hard to catch a 14 to 16 inch bass.
Yeah, that is absolutely crazy. I don't know if, you know, Texas Wildlife would, you know, maybe allow some sort of a waiver or something like that just for the 3 day classic. And of course, all those fish are taken care of so well and then be released back. But what a weigh in that would be. Can you imagine everybody's holding up 30 pound bags? You'd have to have three people up there just handling the fish. It would be a sight to see, that's for sure.
That'd be awesome. That'd break every record, too.
That would.
Like having, like, just 3 days. Oh, man, that would be awesome.
It would be awesome. All right, so along the way, a 10-pound, 12-ounce hammerhead is, that's got to be a PB for you, right? I mean, have you ever caught a fish bigger than that? I know you're from the bayou down there, and they got some big ones swimming around down that way. But, I mean, is there, you know, 10 pounds and 12 ounces, that's a big one.
No, I've never caught anything close to that. I had one on Toledo Bend back in, probably when I was 16, 17, caught on a 10XD, and it was probably about 9.5, and that's about the biggest I ever caught. And the catch it in a tournament is just unreal. And then I just had, like, the second I caught it, I had that weird feeling. I was like, man, I just caught it one almost 11 pounds. I was like, I guarantee somebody's going to catch a bigger one. Sure enough, Hammer came back and caught 11.7.
Yeah, yeah. And it was funny because you said it was a 10-pounder immediately. I mean, you know, a lot of guys, they say 10-pounder, then they, you know, then they put it on the scale, and it's, you know, it's 8 pounds, 1 ounce, and so on. But you were, while you were fighting that fish, it's the first time you saw it, you said, oh, my God, it's a 10-pounder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it just by the looks of it. Because I actually, the second day when I had the 29-something is that one of the days I actually should have broke 40. I lost the 10 at the boat. And I lost another like 7 or 8 at the boat too. And I had 2 small ones I could have replaced them with. So, but at the same time, you know, everybody lost fish all tournament. So you can't really blame it on that. It's whoever lost the least amount of big ones.
I don't know. I don't know what we would have called that. I guess a freaky 40. I mean, we had all those dirty 30s, but it's amazing how many guys said that. I should have had 40. I mean, you know, the big bag, of course, the Crush City monster bag ended up being 39 pounds and change, but it was amazing how many guys said I had 40. I should have had 40.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. And that's why, like, I was not really mad about being second or anything. Cause one, I still got 125 pounds in 4 days and didn't win. But two, like, everybody I talked to still lost them. Cause that Okeechobee, I never lost a fish all week. I knew kind of going into after like a couple of days of losing a fish, and I knew that the chances were a little lower, but if I could have just landed one of those big ones like that 10 on the second day, me and Trey would have been ounces away. I don't know who would have took it, but yeah, he lost them too.
Yeah, exactly. Tyler Rivette with us. You missed the cut at Bend just barely. What was your confidence level going in? I mean, 55th at Toledo Bend, and then you head up the 3-hour drive to Lake Fork. What was your confidence level hitting Fork?
Man, I kind of learned quick at Toledo Bend. I've been there my whole life, really. Not just going there every weekend, I'd fish and learn so much over there. So I had like 3,000 old waypoints just trying to figure out what to do. Just from back in the day and making all the old stuff work. I was up in Blue Lake, you know, that was my favorite area on Toledo Bend. And I just tried to make the shallow deal work, and I didn't want a lot of scope over there. I figured, you know, like I could compete shallow, throwing traps and throwing some chatterbaits and stuff. And just, man, it definitely hit me after that tournament. I was like, I should have spent a little more time scoping off deep because there was more fish out deep than shallow for sure at that time. So I turned around with the Fork, and that's what I did. I made sure to keep that in my mind. And my main deal on Fork was catching them shallow as well. One of our roommates, Brock Mosley, I thought he was going to win the tournament. Every practice day he had over 25 to 27 easy shallow within a foot of water.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just, when you hear that, that just kind of gets you wanting to go on the bank. Like, who cares about the Oscar? That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, that was the thing when I looked at you. You know, you were throwing a chatterbait, you were throwing a swim jig. Of course, you did do some damage with the jerkbait as well. But that was neat to see. And it was nice to see that can still be in play. Do you think that will play at the Classic at all? Is everybody going to be running brush out there with live scope and that's what you got to do? Or do you think there'll be a shallow bite that somebody could do some damage, you know, and get them shallow?
I think it could still be one shallow for sure. I know with live scope and everything, it's changing everything, but at the same time, like, it's hard to see those fish that are shallow and tight to those rocks, which is Grand Lake's got a ton of rocks. And I think somebody cranking the bank at that, because I was looking, the weather's going to be anywhere from like high 30s, low 40s to like mid 60s all week when we're there. So I think that they will push shallow. We got the moon coming. I think it's just setting up perfect for a big old pre-spawn wave to come up in shallow. So, I mean, that's what I'm keeping in mind going in there. And I'm actually sitting at the house right now watching just old videos on Grand Lake, just getting everything I know in there.
So you're telling me to put you on my fantasy team. Is that what you're saying? Basically put Tyler Rivette on the fantasy team, because if it's shallow, you're a guy that's going to do damage.
Well, and that's what I try to remind everybody too, is that, like, yeah, I've caught a few on live scope, but I'm from the bayous. The deepest water I was fishing yesterday, just fun fishing, was 4 foot of water. And that's, my boat was sitting in the middle of the canal. And nice. I just had to learn a lot. And I just got into it because I was tired of getting my butt whooped by it. So I figured if I don't want to get my butt whooped by it, I should probably learn it. So I started doing that. But at the same time, I have all that in my background. Like, you know, I know I could go catch them shallow. And on the back in my mind, you know, like maybe I could go flip that log up there, maybe go get that grass and, or, you know, just throw a vibrating jig or just a spinnerbait. That's my old go-tos, you know.
So that's good stuff.
It's always good to have that. Yeah. It's good to have, no, you know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tyler Rivette has been our guest. Tyler, appreciate you. We will see you in Tulsa, my friend.
That's awesome. I can't wait to be there.
All right, we'll see you there. That's Tyler Rivette. That's a good kid. I've known him for a while now, going back to his days in the Opens back in 2017, 2018, in that range. All right, we get a break in here. When we come back, Justin Hamner. He hammered 11+. We'll talk to him. He came in third, and we'll do that next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
The Bassmaster Classic is returning to Grand Lake of the Cherokees. Be at the greatest event in bass fishing March 22nd through the 24th. And join us March 21st at the kickoff party for live music and giveaways. Friday through Sunday, watch takeoffs at Wolf Creek Park. See the Outdoors Expo presented by GSM Outdoors at the Cox Convention Center. Then to the BOK Arena for the exciting weigh-in shows. Fun for the whole family. All events are free. The Bass Pro Shop's Bassmaster Classic presented by Jockey Outdoors. See Bassmaster.com for details.
There's so much to do, see, and experience in Anderson, South Carolina. Plan your next outdoor adventure with a visit to Lake Hartwell, boating, fishing, hike and bike the nearby trails, experience some history, and after, enjoy the numerous restaurants, shops, and experiences Anderson has to offer. Visit Green Pond Landing right there on Lake Hartwell, perfect launch point for pleasure boating, fishing, kayaking, or just a nice walk beside the water. Come see why Anderson is called South Carolina's Bright Spot. Check it out at visitanderson.com. That's visitanderson.com.
Welcome to Minnow King. How can I help you?
Everything looks good. I'm friggin' starving, man. Been spawning all morning.
Ugh, TMI, bro. What do you want?
I'll take a Crush City Freeloader and Gizzard Shad.
Anything to drink.
Water.
Pull ahead, please. Welcome to Minnow King.
We're gonna have what he's having.
Yeah, throw me in a Ned BLT, too.
Pull ahead, please.
Calm down. Quit feeding so much.
Hey, man, I'm trying to, man. If you
overfeed him, he's gonna hide under a log.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. This segment of the show is brought to you by Lake Hartwell, and I say it all the time, boy, if it didn't exist, you'd have to invent it. Absolutely beautiful Green Pond Landing, second to none, and of course the lake is so fantastic. It's been fishing so well for a number of years now at Lake Hartwell, and I must say, the first time I met our next guest was at Hartwell. It was the first time I ever was in a boat with forward-facing sonar, and it was with Justin Hamner, and we were fishing in an open there, and I remember telling everybody that will listen, this kid's going to make it. He's going to do it. Now, he was just a young pup, like 28, you know, at that point in time. Now he's a grizzled veteran at 32. Now that we got 19-year-old kids winning these tournaments, but he joined us now on the VMC hook. Justin, you're 32, man. Are you thinking about retirement or anything? I mean, with these kids that we got fishing now in this Sunny Elite Series?
I think I got two more years before I can retire. The way it's looking these days, it is insane. Yeah, I'm one of the old guys now. Never would have imagined that.
But you're using one of the young techniques quite a bit, and that's that forward-facing sonar. There's a lot of controversy about it, obviously. But it was the first time I ever saw it, and I was totally stunned by it. And we were fishing over those cane piles and so on at Hartwell, and you had the forward facing going, and you'd say, come on up here, and I'd come up there on the front deck with you, and I'd look at it, and you'd say, see, there they are right there. And then you'd throw your jerk bait out there and you twitch it a couple of times. I'm like, look, one of them just looked like he's going after, and then I looked at you and you were hooked up, and it was just you know, absolutely amazing. And it's already gotten better since then in terms of the technology. It's amazing.
It really is. I mean, there's no doubt, you've heard it so many times, it's changed the sport and how we even think about bass fishing, because we're learning just so much. And to me, that's why I've always loved it, is like we're getting real-time feedback of what fish are actually doing and kind of taking away all the hypotheses and guessing. So it's really cool to be able to interact with them like that.
Yeah, and so I got to ask you, the venue had just the one. I mean, nobody had more than one on, and you had just the one on then. How many are you running now in terms of transducers, forward-facing, sideways-facing, backward-facing, you know, transducers?
Oh, God. I did just go crazy with it this year. I went to two.
Two. Okay, good. Just two. So you don't have them on the rear yet. You got two. You got the one.
I did not.
that's good stuff. Are you one that it bothers you, you know, pinging in the shallow water? And do you like, because I know Trey McKinney, he told me he wants, you know, he likes to kind of turn it away. Once he uses it in shallow water, he'll find the fish and then he kind of points it in a different direction, not to flash on them. But, you know, do you think that it has an impact when you're sending that signal out?
I personally, as much as I have used it, I have not seen where that has made a difference. Now, I do see where getting the boat closer to these fish, I think that makes way bigger of a difference of them feeling that presence of the boat more nowadays, just because of all the fishing pressure. But me personally, I haven't seen where you turn it to hit a fish and they react to it yet. So
what do you think it's going to look like in 5 or 6 or 10 years? I mean, is it going to be crystal clear? Or is it going to be, because right now when I look at it, you know, my wife and I had 9 kids. And when I look at it, it looks like when I take her to the doctor and they do the ultrasound and they'd say, well, there's an arm and there's that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't see anything in there. You know, I don't even see a kid in there. And they're like, oh, look, it's a boy. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's just, that's a blob. And, but yeah, you know, but that's how it looks like to me when I watch it on the screen. But you know, where do you think it's going to go from here?
I'm scared to know. I mean, as much as good as this technology is, from, you know, talking with Garmin and different people, you know, they say that the technology is out there that would just blow this away. So, I mean, I'm sure it's going to keep advancing. And I think that it's going to be like everything else, where the fish are going to start adapting to a lot of this stuff because they've never seen this type of stuff. And I think that's just why it is so good. And these fish are going to adapt just like they did to the Alabama rig. There's going to be different applications for it at certain times, but it's not going to be just the end all be all. It's the cool thing about our sport. These fish are always adapting to everything we got going on them.
Yeah. What do you say to the critics? I mean, you hear all the noise and I'm sure that, you know, the people who talk about how much it's changing the game and so on, you're still willing to fish shallow. We know that. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I, you know, we've seen you in the pockets. We've seen you go shallow and that's good too. But you know, what is your reaction to the criticism and even amongst the elites where, you know, they have it, but wish they didn't have to have, they didn't have as much of it, I guess, if you will. You know, what do you think?
I don't know. It's hard for me to say because everybody, I mean, that has their own opinion. I can see, you know, both sides of how they feel. But to me, I mean, I like catching fish, and this is a tool to catch as many fish as possible and more than I've ever caught and more than anybody really that we've ever seen. So for me, I love it on that aspect, but to each their own. I'm not one to argue with anybody. I just go do my thing and have fun.
We know that Lake Fork is filled with big bass. Justin Hamner with us here. Big bass, obviously. There were 10 century belts, and the only reason there weren't 20 century belts is because only 10 of you has fished 4 days, or there would have been that many more century belts. You got to figure that all the way down to, I mean, legitimately, you could probably go down to where Brandon Polinek and Corey Johnston and Buddy Gross were at 77 pounds and said, you know, they would have had a pretty legit shot, you know, at it. Even some of these guys down as far as Keith Combs at 73 pounds. Top 30, KJ Queen, 73 pounds. Top 30, you could have had 25 of these century belts in there. But Lake Fork creates big fish anyway. I mean, would you say that, you know, especially at this time of year, do you think, like, if there was no forward-facing sonar, don't you think that there still would have been a bunch of 100-pound limits in this tournament?
No doubt. That place is fishing so good right now, and the only reason forward-facing sonar just made it that much better is our efficiency of being able to target them. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we didn't have it, I would have just had to pick apart every stump, you know, that I could see with my eyes, and I'd have still thrown a jerk bait, still done the same kind of deal. It just wouldn't have been near as efficient, but every time you set the hook, the chances of it being a 5 to 8 pounder were really good. And I think that's what, you know, that place has just got them.
124.
I don't care how you like fish.
Yeah, right. 124 pounds, 10 ounces, 1 ounce. You made the show by 1 ounce, or we'd be talking to Tyler Williams right now. So you make the show by 1 ounce over fourth place, Tyler Williams. You pick up $30,000 for the win. You're talking about the jerkbait. Let's talk about that for a minute. Do a little technique of the week. This is jerkbait season for sure. When I fished with you, you threw the jerkbait exclusively on a spinning rod. I noted at this tournament, you're throwing a jerkbait on a bait caster. I can't go one or the other. I tried after fishing with you. I tried to go to the spinning rod. It's like the wrong hand in the wrong direction, and I just couldn't do it and didn't try it anymore. But what makes you make the decision to either use a spinning rod or a bait caster when throwing a jerkbait?
For me, it's all about speed. During the summertime is when I need to work that bait as fast and as hard as I possibly can. And especially like Hartwell is a herring lake. So those fish really targeting on those herring that go super fast. It's super clear water. If they get too good of a look at it, they're probably not going to eat it. So whenever I need to go really, really fast, that's when I go to the spinning rod. And that's because I'm using the braid to fluorocarbon leader, and that braid has zero stretch, and I'm able to rip that thing as hard as you can. I'm sure your arm started hurting just watching me try to work that thing.
Yeah, that was absolutely crazy using that broke down old Walmart special rod, that $28 rod, whatever the heck it was that you were using.
You ain't lying. Hey, I was fishing the opens. I had a kid to feed. I had two jobs back home. I didn't have the money to be sitting on no fancy rod.
Yeah, I heard that. on the baitcaster rig, what are you using? What's your setup line wise? I assume fluoro, maybe not. Some guys still like to use mono, but what are you using there?
Absolutely, I'm always using fluorocarbon whenever I'm throwing the jerk. I don't want it to stretch too much.
Yeah.
If you start throwing like the mono and stuff like that, you really start losing a lot of your action when you're trying to pop that bait. So I'm always going to go fluoro. And like at Fork, I had like five or six different jerkbaits tied on for different depths of the water. And obviously I was fishing a lot shallower than most guys, you know, fishing 2 to 8 foot of water was a lot of my area in those spawning bays. So I was actually using like 20 pound test, with that Yozuri jerkbait. So it could only get, 3 to 4 foot max.
Yeah.
And it didn't hurt to have that heavier line on with them big old fish around them stumps.
All right. Finally, talking about big old fish. Let's talk about it. 11 pounds, 7 ounces, bigger than your baby when it was born. So just tell us what your thought process was when you saw that slaunch coming up near the boat.
So I was not exaggerating. I have never even caught a double digit bass. I'm embarrassed to say. I do not want to know why. I could never break it. And when that thing came up out of that water, I couldn't breathe. It still doesn't seem real. I mean, that was a fish of a lifetime, no doubt about it. And to do it on live, final day of a tournament, it was awesome. I've watched that clip so many times.
Did you get some good still pictures of it? And that's when you can send it to taxidermist and have them do a casting, and put that one on the wall.
Absolutely. And the crazy part was I barely got to bring it in to weigh in because, there they have the slot limit and it had to be over 24 inches. And that fish was like 24 and almost a half inch.
Yeah. Well, it was so fat.
To be 11 pound bass.
Couldn't really lay it on the board. Justin Hamner.
I think I could have measured it from belly to the back and it would probably made it.
Probably 24 around too. I mean, it was that probably a 24 inch waist that fish, just like you, who knows. Justin Hamner has been our guest. Justin, I appreciate you so much. Good to catch up. I will see you in Tulsa here in just a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. And thank you, Tom.
All right. Thank you. That's Justin Hamner. What a great kid. All right. We get a break in here. When we come back, Rapala Winner's Circle with Trey McKinney is next right here. Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
The Bassmaster Classic is returning to Grand Lake of the Cherokees. Be at the greatest event in bass fishing March 22nd through the 24th. And join us March 21st at the kickoff party for live music and giveaways. Friday through Sunday, watch takeoffs at Wolf Creek Park. See the Outdoors Expo presented by GSM Outdoors at the Cox Convention Center. Then to the BOK Arena for the exciting weigh-in shows. Fun for the whole family. All events are free. The Bass Pro Shop's Bassmaster Classic presented by Jockey Outdoors. See Bassmaster.com for details. Get more out of your BASS membership. The new members-only section of Bassmaster.com gives exclusive how-to tips from the world's best bass anglers, tournament video archives from past decades, an historic library of features from Bassmaster magazine, and members-only brand discounts to save you money. Already a member? Current members get all this by logging in at Bassmaster.com/membership. Not a member? Don't miss out. Scan the QR code and join today. And we'll even throw in some free gifts.
It's your boy Seth Fighter, and I'm going to give you my picks for the Rapala Fantasy Fishing.
That's kind of where my picks are going, guys who are good little egg time.
Got a lot of experience. I think he led a day or two last year.
Post-spawn fish that are a little bit finicky. They've been, you know, hit pretty hard through the storm. They wanted to feed up.
But in Bucket A, there was one name that jumped out on that list. Me!
There's so much to do, see, and experience in Anderson, South Carolina. Plan your next outdoor adventure with a visit to Lake Hartwell. Boating, fishing, hike and bike the nearby trails, experience some history, and after, enjoy the numerous restaurants, shops, and experiences Anderson has to offer. Visit Green Pond Landing right there on Lake Hartwell. Perfect launch point for pleasure boating, fishing, kayaking, or just a nice walk beside the water. Come see why Anderson is called South Carolina's bright spot. Check it out at visitanderson.com. That's visitanderson.com.
Tom Abraham here for my friends at North Alabama Mortgage. Did you know that average home equity is at an all-time high? But so is average consumer debt. Even though rates are higher now, you can use your equity to pay off your high consumer debt, student loans, etc., then refi when the rates drop. Don't put off that new home purchase. When rates drop, prices will go up. Buy now and get the best price and then refi when the rates drop. This is the time to talk to the experts at North Alabama Mortgage. Visit NorthAlabamaMortgage.com for more information.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now time for the Rapala Winner's Circle. And boy, it didn't take long for this kid to get in the winner's circle, didn't it? I mean, he was outstanding in his senior year of high school last year. He was outstanding in the St. Croix Bassmaster Opens, to which he qualified for the elites. We talked to him in the Meet the Elite segments that we were doing in the fall. And here he is raising a blue trophy in just his second event on the elites. And it is amazing. 1 week from his 19th birthday, he gets it done. He's Trey McKinney, and he joins us now on a VMC hook. Trey, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How about you?
I am fantastic. You have been treated all of this with a maturity that is beyond your age. But have you given yourself just a second to sit back and think about what you've done here in just two events on the Elite Series to have two great events and raise a blue trophy in just the second one?
Absolutely. You know, we're kind of just trying to, you know, keep it straight, not really think about it too much. I mean, it has been an unbelievable dream on this one. You know, of any event that I thought I would win, I really didn't think it would be this one. You know, I'm usually not the slugfest type of guy. Usually, I'm usually the guy that usually tries to excel when it's pretty tough, when it's kind of, you know, when it's kind of a grind to get your five. But I don't know. It's very different. You know, we have a lot of tournaments on the schedule this year that's going to be very interesting to me, you know, like St. John's, the Florida events. You know, I've never really I fished Florida one time last year for Harris Chain, you know. Mm-hmm. So I still got so much to learn on those type of events. Like St. John's is tidal water, you know. So we just got to keep it up. We got to put in our work. That's what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to go down to Florida, kind of try to learn them, figure out where the fish live, figure out where the high percentage areas are. So hopefully we can figure out something just to kind of hang in there.
You were 12th at Toledo Bend and, of course, get the win at Fork. Have you started looking for property yet in Texas? Because obviously it's an ATM machine for you when you go there.
You know, it would be awesome. You know, I mean,
they say everything's bigger in Texas, right? But I don't know. It's it would be a pretty awesome place to live.
Yeah, it would be pretty awesome. And they were all bigger. And we'll get into some of those details in a moment. And just, you know, one of the reasons I say has it sunk in yet, you think about guys like a Gerald Swindle, who's a two-time AOI and has been doing this and has fished well over 250 tournaments with Ben. He doesn't have a blue trophy. I mean, you think about all of the guys that have come through and how hard these things are really hard to win. You know what I mean? And for you to do it in the second event in the fashion that you did it, you know, I think that that's just what makes it that much more incredible. But it seems like you got a good head on your shoulders and you're kind of staying level headed about it.
You know, that's the thing about it. And that's what I told my mom and told my family. I was like, you know, I'm going out there. I'm going fishing, and I'm gonna do what I love. You know, I'm not gonna worry about it. I'm trying not to stress about it. The last day, I was stressing about it. I about lost it. You know.
Yeah.
But I just figured, you know, if the Lord's got a plan, He's got a plan. You know, that's just kind of what I said to myself. I was like, you know, if this is my tournament, He's gonna let it be, and there's nothing I can do about it. And I was just gonna follow it. You know, I was gonna do my part. And if it was meant to be, it was meant to be.
And apparently was meant to be. Trey McKinney with us here coming off of his win in the Rapala Winner Circle as we talked to him. Carbondale, Illinois. Now, you averaged over 30 pounds per day. You had a 30-pound bag each of the 4 days of this tournament. That's absolutely amazing when you think about the Dirty 30. That's a 6-pound average plus. So in Carbondale, Illinois, how many 6-pounders have you caught up there in Illinois? I mean, because it's just, you don't think a big fish guy coming from Illinois.
Absolutely not. I've probably caught, let's see, however many 6-pounders I caught this week, I probably have not caught in Illinois. You know, it's literally unreal. Cause I think my smallest fish this week was 5'3". And you catch a 5'3". In Illinois, you know, you're doing something.
They put you in the paper.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we got minnows compared to what they have down here. So I was just so shocked when I was, you know, when I was practicing, I was like, you know, this is crazy. You know, the first day I had, I forget what it was. It was the first day of the 3-day practice, and I almost had 40 pounds. And I was like, oh, my goodness, you know. And I was just kind of piddling around, you know, casting at a dot here and there, not really fishing the areas, you know, not really. I was just kind of feeling out areas and stuff. So I was like, man, I might be on to something special, you know. And I just kind of was like, it's too good to be true. It'll change. And everything else like that. So I really didn't kind of – I wasn't even letting it sink in of how good a practice I actually had, you know, because it's always – like last year, I'd always either get second or I would joke or, you know, it was a crazy time. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to let it be. When the first day we had 33, I was like, dang, we're sitting in fourth.
Yeah.
You know, like
33.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, we're in fourth. Yeah. And then the next day we went out and done it again and then it jumped us to first. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then I got to thinking, I was like, you know, I think I can get close to 33 again. And we got to 30. And then I was like, well, we got to step it up. You know?
Yeah. Like, slacker. You're slacker. You only came in with 30. What are you kidding me? You blew the tournament.
Yeah,
30.
Like, what were we doing? So, and it's kind of crazy to think of. Like, I just got to thinking about this. The all-time record was like, I think, a pound something.
1 pound, away. 7 ounces. And, 1 pound, 7 ounces.
Yeah. And the day I had 30 pounds, I lost a 7.5-pounder at the boat. And just to say that I had the fish on that would have beat the all-time record, that is crazy, you know? Like, just to say of all the tournaments Bassmaster's been at and everything, like, I had the fish, you know? It was wild. You know, just to go from just wanting to compete with these guys to having a tournament where – I was 1 pound 9 ounces, 1 pound 10 ounces away from beating the all-time record is I mean, the Lord shined so much favor on this tournament.
Yeah, he did for you. Absolutely. There was no doubt about it. And there was a lot of fun times, too, watching you in the boat. You know, and by the way, the consistency is amazing. I mean, three of the 4 days, 33-11, 33-10, 33-11, that's amazing in and of itself that those fish are all that size. And, of course, yeah, the day you had the bad day, you know, when you broke your mic and you had 30 pounds and we thought you were you know, the tournament was going away. But it's amazing how so many of the fish were added up to the same amount of weight. It's that part of it is crazy, too.
Yeah, it was, because, you know, we had different combinations. Usually, like, the first day, I had 28 pounds, you know, and I was, like, in, like, an hour and a half or something like that, something crazy. And I was like, you know, okay, let's see. I need two more big bites. I need an 8 and a 7 to get me to over 30. And I was like, I'm just going to go pre-practice. Or not pre-practice, I'm just going to go practice, you know, instead of starting to burn these areas. So I just kind of went fishing, you know, and it got like 2 or 3 hours and I hadn't had a bite yet. I was like, well, we better go get our, you know, 7-8 pounders. And I started hitting more stuff that, you know, that looked better. It kind of, those little narrow grains heading in the north. And the first bite I ended up getting was, like, I think 8-6 or something like that.
Yeah.
So that busted us over 30. And I was like, why stop? You know, I was like, holy cow. It was a dream. My biggest bag I've ever caught has been 26 pounds. 26 pounds. I've traveled all over the country, and 26 pounds is my biggest bag I've ever weighed in a tournament.
In your whole entire 19-year and 1 week life. I mean, you know, come on. I've been all over the country. I've caught up in 19 years old. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, it's just I got spinnerbaits older than you that are sitting in my boat right now. I mean, it's nuts. Yeah. Trey McKinney with us here. Light line too, man. I mean, this is I got nervous just watching it, and you know, you're using 10-pound Seeger Tatsu line there, and you're catching these 7- and 8-pounders on 10-pound line, 8-pound line on Sunday. I mean, you just talk about your setup a little bit, because that is nerve-wracking to me. I'm fishing Lake Fork. I'm using rope. You know what I mean? And you're out there with 8-pound line. It's crazy.
Absolutely. You know, like the last day, and it was a pretty cool deal. That's what I liked about this tournament was when that cold front come through, I was like, you know, this could be it. Like, this cold front is going to help me so much. It's unbelievable. So that's what we kind of like focused on. The first day I was like, okay, so I have the 4 or 5 pockets. I know they're going to be somewhere in there, and I know they're going to move. So I was like, okay, so where are they going to move to? Where's the first place they're going to go to? So I kind of was like, well, it should be suspended at the mouth of the pocket. It should be perfect. And that's what happened. The first day I pulled up, I saw a dot. I had a 5-10 in the boat before everybody had taken off yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was wild. Yeah. And so we kind of just, we basically had to make a lot of changes. So that when they had that cold front for the first 2 days, they kind of got out there suspended. You know, they were easier to catch up there. When you got a bait to them, they were pretty active. And as the time went on, we got to the third day, and the third day was getting tough. You know, it was getting warmer, getting a lot warmer actually. And I was like, okay, so we're gonna have to make some changes. I was like, today I should be able to finish off how I done it. You know, just kind of fishing the jerk bait, the striking Z2. Stuff like that out here, I should be able to finish it. So I got to 30 pounds, and I just could not get another bite. You know, it was over, and I still seen a whole lot of fish out there, but they weren't biting. And I got in the night, and I was like, Mom, I was like, they're coming. She's like, what do you mean they're coming? I'm like, you know, I don't know. I stepped outside. It was like 62, 63 degrees. I was like, they're coming. They're going to be there in the morning. And she's like, oh, okay, whatever you say, you know. And it was wild because I don't know what it was. I don't know if the Lord just had a feeling on me or what. But when I went to bed that night, I was unstressed, really. I went to bed. I slept like a baby. And when I woke up, I was like, yep, they're going to be there. And I had so much confidence that they were. And when I pulled into that pocket and seen them everywhere up shallow, I was just, you know, it was such a great feeling just to have, have kind of that gut feeling on where they had went.
And it
was pretty wild.
And you don't turn the scope off either. 4 feet of water, you're still kind of peeking around at them, looking at them with the scope. It wasn't, you don't feel like that they would scatter due to the pinging or any of that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's definitely the size of pressure. But the way I look at it is I'd rather be casting somewhere where I feel like there's two or three fish than casting somewhere if I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hey, we did that for 100 years, by the way. I just want you to know that. We did that. We casted with no idea what was out there for a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Troy McKinney. So
basically how I use it is I would get up in those shallow pockets and I would scan around and find the high percentage areas. And then after I find the high percentage areas, that's just what I would focus on. So I'd just kind of shine it away, and then I would just fish where I knew the high percentage areas was. If it was a stump or if it was just like a little harder bottom, whatever it was, because I knew they were in there and I knew they were relating to whatever. So I would just find the cover, and then I would kind of turn the scope away, and then I would fish it how I wanted to. You know, I would really focus on how I fished it, if I was touching something, if I was coming over it. That's usually how I fish shallow a lot of times, how I was doing it.
Yeah.
It's a really deadly way when they get there. So it was so fun.
Trey McKinney has been our guest. Trey, good luck the rest of the way. We'll see you in Tulsa. You won't be fishing this one. I'm sure you'll be fishing the next one, but we'll see you in Tulsa anyway. I know you'll be there working the show as well. But congratulations on a win, and thanks for coming on today.
Absolutely. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, come out, check it out. I'd love to talk to anybody that wants to talk. We'll be at like St. Croix, Seagar, Strike King Lose. Y'all should come check it out. We'll see you there.
All right, we'll see you there. That's Trey McKinney. Great stuff and a superstar in the making. All right, we'll get a break and come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Rapala is one of the most respected names in all of the fishing industry. The finest balsa wood baits with the best action, the DT series, the Brat Squarebills, and the Shad Wrap are all legendary. But did you know that Rapala also makes high-quality rain gear and every kind of fishing accessory you can imagine? Plus, under the Rapala family of brands, you'll find VMC hooks and terminal tackle, Suffix mono, fluoro, and braided lines, Terminator spinnerbaits, jigs, and frogs, plus the Storm Arashi line of baits. Learn more at Rapala.com. That's Rapala.com, and start catching more fish.
Welcome to Minnow King. How can I help you?
Everything looks good. I'm friggin' starving, man. Been spawning all morning.
Ugh, TMI, bro. What do you want?
I'll take a Crush City freeloader and gizzard shad.
Anything to drink.
Water.
Pull ahead, please. Welcome to Minnow King.
We're gonna have what he's having.
Yeah, throw me in a Ned BLT, too.
Pull ahead, please.
Calm down. Quit feeding so much.
Hey, man, I'm trying to, man. If you
overfeed him, he's going to hide under a log.
Hey, gang, Tom Abraham here for my friends at 13 Fishing. I can't tell you how excited I was to learn that two-time Bassmaster Angler of the Year Gerald Swindle had teamed up with the crew at 13 Fishing to build the ultimate rod and reel series that combines quality with a price point that works for all. And right now, we have a tremendous deal for you. The new Meta Series rods and Inception G2 reels are available at 13fishing.com. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com.
The Bassmaster Classic is returning to Grand Lake of the Cherokees. Be at the greatest event in bass fishing March 22nd through the 24th. And join us March 21st at the kickoff party for live music and giveaways. Friday through Sunday, watch takeoffs at Wolf Creek Park. See the Outdoors Expo presented by GSM Outdoors at the Cox Convention Center. Then to the BOK Arena for the exciting weigh-in shows. Fun for the whole family. All events are free. The Bass Pro Shop's Bassmaster Classic presented by Jockey Outdoors. See Bassmaster.com for details.
Tom Abraham here for my friends at North Alabama Mortgage. Did you know that average home equity is at an all-time high? But so is average consumer debt. Even though rates are higher now, you can use your equity to pay off your high consumer debt, student loans, etc., then refi when the rates drop. Don't put off that new home purchase. When rates drop, prices will go up. Buy now and get the best price and then refi when the rates drop. This is the time to talk to the experts at North Alabama Mortgage. Visit NorthAlabamaMortgage.com for more information.
Thank you for listening to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on Sports Byline USA and the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back for the final segment of Phoenix Post Bassmaster Radio. And as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Time now for the Minn Kota Alltrex quest for the Elite's AOI, ROI, and Elite qualification through the St. Croix Bassmaster Opens. You know, the new Alltrex Quest trolling motor combines the most responsive, intuitive steering ever with GPS-powered automatic boat control. The new Quest series of dual 24-36-volt brushless trolling motors were designed for anglers who demand the best from their equipment, even in the harshest of environments. With a programmable foot pedal, re-engineered motor and mount, more advanced GPS functionality than ever before, and an eco mode to extend battery life. The only thing this motor won't do is quit. So let's take a look at these top five standings in the AOI and ROI standings, which look very, very similar after two events. We'll tell you why here in a second. In the Angler of the Year standings, Trey McKinney leads the way. The 19-year-old with 195 points is tied with Ben Milliken atop the AOI standings. Ben with 195 as well. 1 point back is Patrick Walters at 194. Then Justin Hamner with 191 points. Koyo Fujita and Wesley Gore, another rookie in Wesley Gore, they are tied with Cooper Gallant, all at 190 points. In the Rookie of the Year standings, well, it looks exactly the same at the top. Trey McKinney and Ben Milliken are tied there. Wesley Gore hot on their tail, along with Tyler Williams at fourth place and Kyle Patrick in fifth. In the Opens EQ, this will change dramatically, of course, after this weekend. It's Paul Marks leading the way. Easton Fothergill, along with Andy Newcomb in third. Evan Kung in fourth. Joe Weiberg in fifth. Tucker Smith is in sixth. Emil Wagner is seventh. Ish Monroe is eighth. And Dakota Ebar in the final transfer spot in ninth. Finally, if you're looking to head out to the lake, don't do it without Omnia Pro. With Omnia Pro, you can look at each lake's unique structure and the current water and weather conditions to see what kind of approach makes the most sense. Omnia Pro members can see the current conditions, including water temp, grass, and other conditions on thousands of lakes throughout the country on the Omnia Fishing mobile app. Now, Pro membership is only $49 for the entire year and includes unlimited access to map layers from your phone, plus free shipping on all orders and 10% credit back on purchases, so you get loyalty credits even on sale items. And it gets even better. Go to omniafishing.com/bass to save 20% on a membership today for listening to Bassmaster Radio. So you can save nearly $10 on that $49 Omnia Pro membership by going to omniafishing.com/bass. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham. And this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.